Thank the Lord for the beautiful music this morning and for those He's brought in our midst to exercise those gifts. We praise God for them. Turn to Luke, the second chapter, if you would. Luke, the second chapter. It's good to see each of you today. I want to read this text. Let's pray first, and then we'll read it and get into our time together this morning. Loving Father, we come to you today with, I hope, with hearts that are grateful, just exceedingly joyful, and offering to you our thanksgiving. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be born, to live, to minister, to die on the cross, to rise up and gloriously triumph over the enemy. And Lord, for your work through him, we are so grateful. Thankful to know you through faith in Christ. Thankful to have the opportunity to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving to you. Reminded, today we're reminded of that, the advent of Jesus. And our thoughts are centered around that in this season. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts are deeply grateful, and I pray we just stand in awe of you today. Loving Father, there are perhaps many things on our hearts this morning. We've had the challenges of this last week, and you've proved yourself faithful again. We thank you for those that have come through surgeries, and those that are on the mend today. For those, Lord, that may be in hospitals now, we'd ask that you'd lift them up and help them. We ask, Lord, for those that have traveled in today and maybe spending some time with parents or friends, we just pray that this Christmas season would find them focused on you. And thanks for the joy of family and friends and getting together. And we do ask, Lord, for those students that are taking a break from classes, that you'll minister to them during this time. They might be a blessing to their families. For each that have come today, Lord, we come as people that are very needy. I pray that we might get a glimpse of Jesus today that would cause us to grow deeper in our faith, and deeper in our giving of ourselves over to you. Perhaps today too, Lord, there's someone here that is yet to come to faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. May this day be one that they will. Father, we ask that your Spirit would move, because without your power, we're nothing. We have your word, it will be proclaimed, but we pray that it would be taught by the Spirit of God, that your Spirit would move in us and strike us just where we need it, help us where we need that help, correct us as well. And Lord, we think even, my mind has gone to tonight as well, in that Christmas program that'll be proclaimed on the airwaves and in this community. For those that would come in, we pray they would be of your choosing, and we pray that you would help those, every one of them, that are involved in the program itself to just find great peace in their own hearts today. And in that time, I pray that you will use them mightily, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. I would ask that you guys just might remember this afternoon, even as you come in tonight, you might be in prayer about that Christmas program tonight. I believe, and with all my heart, that it's going to be wonderful. So we would ask that. Let's look at the text today, Colossians, Luke 2, 1 through 20. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. The angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. All who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds, and Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. There are events that have taken place on this earth that leave us in awe. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the past couple of weeks, there have been some sunsets and even some sunrises that, to me anyway, were very memorable, and they left me in awe of God's creative hand. Maybe the northern lights that would move across the vast sky, that we see their brilliance that strike awe and wonder in you. A couple of events that really stir my heart to being in awe of God, the fact that he is awesome, would be being present at the birth of a newborn. And then something else is to have the opportunity to see someone born anew into the family of God through faith in Christ. Both of those things really stand out in my mind. There are a lot of others as well that we rejoice about. There are many things that can leave us in awe. That's what I'm saying. But I believe none can compare to what we have in this event that is recorded for us in the Scripture. God taking on human flesh as a helpless newborn in Bethlehem. And as I go through something this morning, this text that I think is very familiar to many of you, you've heard probably a lot of sermons on the Christmas story. But I hope to leave with you this thought that the incarnation ought to leave us. It ought to produce in us awe and wonder as we pondered, awe and wonder toward God. Exodus 15:11 says this, "Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders?" God's word lays out for us one of the most amazing events this world has ever known, the birth of the Messiah. In a moment in history when God is clothed with skin. When we grasp what God did that day, I think our eyes witness to our hearts that this event is truly awesome. And I hope it produces amazement and wonder as well. As we read through this, I think you're going to see, and I'll mention a few other scriptures, there is just that all around this event, this awe of God in his dealing with us and with those there. Mary and Joseph, I believe, were left in awe. And I didn't read from the first chapter, but if you look back at Luke, the first chapter, verse 28, proclamation, from Gabriel. It was in the sixth month, verse 26, that Elizabeth was with child. He came in, verse 27, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." And what he's saying here is there's just, God has abundantly blessed you with a tremendous amount of grace. It's a moment in time when I think, and I know Mary had to be quite stunned. I think speaking to an angel would do that to you. And this, what is said here, "Greetings, favored one," the Lord is with you. She was very perplexed at his statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. But it begins here for her in this event we're talking about there, but there's just grace that's over the top. She's going to be the one who would carry the Christ child, the Messiah. I don't think there's anyone else in this Christmas story, as we read it today, that would be in more awe and wonder than Mary. She had found favor. It meant she was privileged to be the one who would carry the Messiah. And she humbles herself to the Lord and his will. In that first chapter, it says later on there, a couple things. Nothing is impossible with God, verse 37. And Mary, in verse 38, does something that's just incredible here. Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You can read over that quickly. You may not realize it, but Mary just humbles herself to God's will and his way in her life. She gives herself over completely to what God wants to do in her. And she's set a great example for all of us here. So I'm just saying there's some awe here and some wonder. And she pondered God's working in. She humbled herself to God's will. May it be done to me according to your word. There's giving up of herself totally to what God would have for her. She did that. I'm reminded of Jesus in the garden. Jesus said, coming before this thought of the cross, and he humbled himself in very much the same way. Again, if you would. "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, but yet not your will, but not my will, but yours be done," he said in Luke 22:42. There's a resignation of himself again to the will of the Father. Can you imagine hearing from an angel and hearing those words? That God has graced you, you're going to carry the child, he is Emmanuel, God with us, and so forth. Can you imagine her joy? Can you imagine her awe? Her wonder. There was more. There's a supernatural conception here. Verses 34 and 35, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." This has never been done before or since. Mary knew the way of conception. She hadn't been with a man. It's just, how can this be? And yet she resigned herself to the Lord. She carries Jesus in her womb. God himself. She feels him move for the first time. I've often wondered about that, what she felt. What was she thinking through this whole time? I believe there's joy. I believe there's wonder there. And I think as we look at what God does, you know, when God sends his Son into the world, he's saying to us, whatever you think, however you think, you're going to come before me and be right, it's not enough. Jesus was proclaimed that he was coming, the Messiah was. And when we see Jesus step into humanity as the God-man, it's God saying, look, I've made a way for you to be right with me. There's just so much here. And we were singing and reading of the scripture. And I remember Wednesday night hearing again some of the Christmas story. And I was toward the back of this of the pews there where many of you sat today, and I was just, you know, kind of blown away again with this whole thing. But it's a tremendous outreach of God toward us. And there was a lot for Mary to consider, wasn't there? What would Joseph think? What would others think? I'm going to be with child, and I'm not yet married. She was engaged, betrothed, if you would, in that culture. It's like an engagement, and you are held until the day that that wedding finally takes place. But you were for that person alone. And what is Joseph going to think now? So, there's some things to ponder there. But she delivers, and I read that text to you as well. Verse 7 of Luke 2, she delivers the deliverer. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. How did they get to Bethlehem? They were from Nazareth. Well, God ordained that there would be a census taken where they would have to go back to their hometown. Remember, the scripture proclaimed that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. So God orchestrated all this, and there they are. So she delivers the deliverer. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but you know, it's quite probable that Joseph was the first to hold Jesus. I don't know if there was a midwife there. That may have been, but it's very probable that he did. Think for a moment. The time has come for the Lamb of God to be born, and he's born in a stable. The promised Redeemer is about to make his appearance. Here's this young couple, and they've just traveled some 65 to 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And they're provided shelter from the elements, a place to keep the chill off. It seems an unlikely place for the King of Kings to be born, doesn't it? One final contraction, and here comes Jesus. Mary and Joseph witness his first breath as he takes in the air that he created. Isn't that something? I've often wondered if there were shouts of joy from those two. I don't know. If there were shouts of joy from them in the inn that first night, or if there was a quiet, reverent hush as Mary and Joseph held the joy of the world. I believe this, though. Their faces were glowing with happiness, awe, and wonder. I believe there are tears flowing with gratitude for a safe delivery and the wonder of new life. Now, it didn't affect just Mary. There's a lot to be said about Joseph. I don't have time to go through a lot, but you know, I think he was in awe of a lot of things that were happening as well. Pastor Dan had us read some from Matthew's Gospel. I'm going to ask you to turn back there for a moment. I don't know if you've ever pondered much about Joseph and what had gone through his mind. Look at Matthew, the first chapter, and I want you to look at verse 18 and following. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before that marriage was consummated, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. You know, there was a deep anguish in Joseph's heart upon finding that Mary, this wonderful woman, who she believed was a godly young woman, was with child. How could that be? And he's thinking, this isn't right. This isn't going to work out. He wasn't wanting to publicly disgrace her. He was going to do this kind of quietly, but there was going to be no marriage. It was off now. Then God steps in. Verse 20, when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, means Savior. He will rescue his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God is with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, kept her a virgin until after she gave birth to Jesus, to a son. They called his name Jesus. So there were different times that God would speak in different situations to Joseph. You see it in Matthew 2:14 and 2:22, the events that surrounded Jesus' birth and then his caring for Joseph to care for his family. But he's given instruction from the Lord. And he wakes up and he does what God calls him to do. That's an amazing thing. I think when he ponders all this in his heart he kind of steps back in awe and wonder of who God is and what he's capable of and what he's doing. In Luke 2, verse 33, go back there if you would, but both Mary and Joseph are amazed there. It speaks of that. His father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Both were amazed. Both were amazed. If we simply think of and walk through this Christmas story and sort of look at the facts of it, I think we miss the heart of God. And his heart is toward sinful man. Even while we were yet sinners, the scripture says, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, he was reaching out to us. You know, the birth of Jesus says, whatever man can do is incapable of attaining to the height or the standard of righteousness that I have set. So God sends his son. In Acts 20, it tells us that the blood that was shed on the cross was God's blood. So he gives Jesus. And as this event unfolds, it's nothing but over-the-top, supernatural, unbelievable stuff. And we, at least I, stand amazed at it. It's just something that God would go to this extent to have a relationship with me, have a relationship with you. I've been set back at times by the faithfulness of God in these last little while, and I'm thankful for that. His dealing with us is just that. He's faithful. He's always there. There's a lot of awe here. The shepherds were in awe. I have to tell you, Luke 2 is my favorite. You probably know that. Matthew is a great account as well, but I love this story. You know, Mary gives birth in the 7th verse there, records that. But then in verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And listen, they didn't have a clue what was about to happen. There's some things I love about this. I love that God reached to the lowly of the low. You know, those shepherds, they were considered by the society they lived in as pretty much castaways. I've read that they couldn't even go to court and witness of events, or give witness to a court. But here they are. God reaches out. Now he spoke with Mary and with Joseph, but the first individuals that he reaches to in society are those that may have felt worthless, and I'll bet they did. So, it says they were in that region near Bethlehem, some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. An angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One, the Promised One, the one of Genesis 3:15. He's there. He, the Lord, he's been born." So there's some awe here. They were in their fields when their lives, doing their shepherding. I love that thought. And their lives would be changed forever. You've had events that have knocked you back. And I was reminded of, their reaction here. It talks about them being greatly terribly frightened. This whole thought of the glory of God coming to them. They hear and they see something they've never witnessed before. And it just takes them back. So they were in the fields. They saw an angel of the Lord. And from the text, there's no other way to say it than terribly frightened. It comes from two words being and it speaks of great or large and describing the emotion of the mind. And they were largely or greatly or big time scared. Frightened in original is phobio, which we get the word phobia from. So, I don't know, the scariest you've ever been, that's where they were. That's where they were. It was quite a surprise for them. And they heard, listen, you can think in these terms that the angel spoke, but what did the angel speak? He spoke what God wanted them to hear. Do you realize that they heard from the throne of heaven that day? Don't miss that. They heard from the throne of heaven that day. And by the way, we have those words recorded for us, right? Where are we hearing from today? We're hearing from God's revelation to man. And they heard from God. That's it. And it was, do you hear how he says it? Good news of great joy for all people. Good news. This is the gospel. It's the first pronunciation of the, or proclamation of the gospel. Good news of great joy, all people. How? And who is this? In the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior. What's that imply? It implies sinners, there's a way of escape. You need a Savior. It's amazing to me today that people will talk maybe about Jesus and think of a Savior, but when you get to a Savior for you, that's quite another thing. But listen, you need a Savior. You need a Savior because you're a sinner. And if you've never come to know Christ, you do that today through faith. This will be a sign for you, and God gives them that, or the angel speaks to that. And then verse 13, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. This is quite an event that they witnessed here. And there was a lot for those shepherds that day. Now, they heard about the good news. It's a cross, Savior. That's really what the angel's getting at, a Savior. You're sinners. You need a Savior. He's not going to be a babe forever. He'll go to the cross. And if with further revelation, we certainly understand that he's Christ. That's this promised one. Not only that, he's Lord or Yahweh. The Old Testament sometimes translates it Jehovah. And that, there's a lot there. This Savior is God in the flesh. And he is just that, a Savior. He's the anointed one or promised one. And he's the Lord. And they talked about what they would see. So they witnessed this praise of the heavenly hosts in verses 13 and 14. I was just thrilled to be a part of our worship this morning. Do you realize that there was worship and awe there that day as the angel proclaimed? And the heavenly hosts, see, we've heard from God the Father, I believe, from the throne. There's a Savior born for you. The angel brings those words. And then it's like all of heaven joins in now. All of heaven. And they're speaking to the glory to God in the highest. Glory. All glory to God. Glory to God. When the angels had gone away from them, the shepherds began saying to one another, wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Who's going to speak? Who could speak? Finally, one of them could. And they began to speak to one another. I get quite a kick at times out of scaring people. And I think at times, you know, when I'm able to really get one over on someone, and it's coming back to me now because I get really jumpy. If someone's in a room and says my name or something, I about jump out of my chair at times. But I do. I get kind of a kick out of frightening people. It's, I don't know why. And something happened this morning. There was a lovely young lady coming into the church out of the parking lot, and I thought, I'll get the door for her. And she was getting to the door a little sooner than I thought, so I hurried and burst out of that door, said, welcome to Bark River Bible Church. And for some reason, I just love that. I don't know what it is. And I'm not going to say her name because she would have it out for me if I did. But I've probably said too much. But anyway, you know, there was this, I think, this sort of blown away for the shepherds. And they moved, see? They heard the gospel. They heard about the Savior. And they moved. And look what they do. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then. And there's faith here as well, right? They've heard from God, and they're going to act on what he's revealed. He's saying in Bethlehem, in the city, you'll find this babe lying in a manger, swaddling clothes, all that. Let us go straight, they say in verse 15, and see the thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They believe it's happened, see? There's faith all over this. These simple shepherds got it. Isn't that great? And that's just the gospel, isn't it? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that God sent His Son for you, to redeem you, to pay for your sin, that you might have eternal life through faith in Him. And there's no other way. So they went. They're speaking from faith here. Let's see what's happened. So they came in a hurry. And I'll bet they were, right? Those feet never moved so fast. And they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been said to them about the child. They rehearsed this, what the angel had proclaimed. They rehearsed that to Mary and to Joseph. And all who heard it, there may have been some others. Look at what happened. All who heard it wondered. They wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Wow, isn't that amazing? There's just wonder there. There's awe. They mismoved. And they worshipped there as well. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told them. Well, I submitted to you that this event, the incarnation, ought to leave us in awe as we ponder it. And I say that because as I read this text, a couple things I've noted. Our need moved heaven. Do you realize that? Our need moved heaven. Started in Genesis. Messiah is delivered in Bethlehem. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. Our need moved God to give His Son, a Savior He sent for us. And our great sin didn't keep Him from reaching out to us in love. We deserve eternity apart from Him. We deserve His judgment. But His mercy and grace has come. And we see His love there. By this, the love of God is manifested to us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or satisfying payment for our sins. 1 John 4:9-10. Jesus said, I came that they may have life. Let me ask you this. Have you grasped the wonder and awe of this truth? That God is for us. So much that He moved and gave His love in the form of His Son. He's so faithful, so good, so right. Mary and Joseph, they both surrendered themselves to His work, His will, His good pleasure for them. I want to ask you something. When you think about all of who God is, what He has done, is there any other response that's right than that? Lord, here I am. Warts and all, but I'm Yours. To do all that You have called me to do, to be all You've called me to be. When Mary surrenders herself before God, it's just something to look at and to consider. That's where I need to be. Now, it'll touch every part of your life, won't it? It'll touch, make a difference who you hang out with, what you say, what you do. It'll make a difference in how you react to your spouse and the grace that's there. It just touches every aspect of life. Their surrender all over in that story. There's love all over in that story. There's forgiveness all over in that story. There's service all over in that story. There's witness all over in that story. All those things. Shepherds witnessed. You see, just surrender to service by both Mary and Joseph. Forgiveness, where's that? Well, that's God. Reaching out to you and I, saying through faith in Christ, I forgive you. There's love, isn't there? No greater love hath any man than this, than he laid out his life for his friends. Jesus sure loved. Well, I hope that as we have pondered this event this morning, that you're left in awe at God's passion, God's grace, God's mercy in reaching, making a move toward us. It's the most amazing story ever told. It is. It's the most amazing story ever told. And I remind you today that Jesus doesn't stay in the manger. Heard a fellow one time said, I prayed to baby Jesus. And that was a long time ago. I really didn't know how to respond to it, but he's not a baby. His life was a journey of obedience to the Father that led him straight to the cross. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin. God's justice flowed in the form of his wrath, his judgment on the Son, on Jesus. And he died. That's not the rest of the story either, is it? 3 days later, he showed himself, didn't he? In doing so, his sacrifice to the Father on our behalf, that was God the Father's amen in raising his Son. He said, it's finished. You and I have the privilege of knowing him, of being adopted into the family of God, of being forgiven, and then serving him with all of our life. That isn't the rest of the story, though, is it? He's coming again. Yeah. He's coming again. Well, we know him as Wonderful Counselor, don't we? And it was Paul who said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God. As many as received him, friend, to them, he gave the right or the power to become the children of God. Do you know him? Open invitation for you. You who know him. You who know him. It's not too much of him to ask that you give your lives as a living sacrifice for the glory of God and for our joy. Worship really is the right response, isn't it? In every way. Let's thank him together. Loving Father, as we consider this event that happened in the fullness of time, at just the right time, at the right place, our hearts just have to say, we praise and thank you. You are so good to give as you have given, to allow us to see fleshed out how much you love us. And I pray that the depth of that love would move in us, Lord, a life that stands firmly on your word and that serves, that loves, that forgives, that is gracious and kind to all, and that reflects in some way your heart and passion for others. And Father, I realize that there may be some here today that have come in and they have yet to know Jesus. Not to know about him, but to know him. I pray, Lord, you'd find them humbly before you, acknowledging their sinners and asking and seeking your forgiveness, asking for a Savior. Lord, let us not be the same because of all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Won't you stand with me?